This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I don't need to wait another minute, let alone an hour, to take common sense steps that will save the lives in the future and to urge my colleagues in the House and Senate to act. The Senate should immediately pass, let me say it again, the United States Senate, I hope some are listening, should immediately pass the two House pass bills that close loopholes in the background check system.
Guns, that's going to be what the sights are for this president, calling for tighter gun rules. Gun control wasn't at the top of the agenda, but these attacks in Georgia and Colorado elevating the issue for him. Will it make a dent in opinions with Republicans and some Democrats, actually, on the Hill or not? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, it is sad. There's no question about that, to see the tearful faces, flowers all over a supermarket parking lot to honor the 10 people who died when a 21-year-old opened fire inside this grocery store in, again, in Boulder, in ages from 20 to 65. They were just wiped off the face of the earth. And of all the places that you go in a community, how many people can relate to that? This was a Syrian-born guy named Ahmad Alissa, again, 21. The FBI looked at his Facebook posts, and of course they're still forensically going through everything on social media, but he ranted about Islamophobia and Islamophobes hacking his phone before he went on that rampage. Motive still unknown. When he surrendered to police, he wanted to speak to his mom. His brother said that he was antisocial, had been paranoid in high school. His sister-in-law said she'd seen him playing with a gun recently, but didn't suspect him of any violence. And President Biden, as you heard there, called for a nationwide ban on assault rifles and tighter laws on background checks. Where does that go, if anywhere, in Washington, D.C.? Like the border wars, gun wars have been going on forever in this country, but specifically if we focus on the here and now, I think it's really intensified over the last two decades, but it builds up after a shooting and then it dies down. It builds up after a shooting and then it dies down. And it depends on who's president. It depends on who the reps are on the Hill and what the conversation is. But nothing has come close to really passing. Once in the Obama administration, it got a lot closer, but it didn't happen. There wasn't enough votes. What happens this time around? The response is, of course, when you talk about gun restrictions, is that the response is, well, if somebody wants to do something, people who commit these atrocities, they plow cars into people, they set off bombs, they wield machetes, they do a myriad of other things. Now, the last major push, like I said, one of them anyway, came for gun restrictions in 2013. And it was a combination of a Republican senator, Pat Toomey at the time, and a Democratic senator, who still is, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, giving hope that after elementary school kids in Connecticut were massacred, that this would pass. It did not pass. Did not pass. In the end, just four Senate Republicans voted for the bill, expanding background checks. Multiple Democrats voted against it. Two of those four Republican senator yes votes, John McCain, Mark Kirk, aren't in the Senate, of course, and neither are two red state Democrats who opposed the bill, but in a 50-50 Senate and with the filibuster creating an effective 60-vote threshold, the math is even worse today. So I can't imagine, I'll say it again, I can't imagine that this happens. I don't see it happening. It is that thing that happens of, let's do it, let's propose it, and throw it up there when there's responses to tragedies. but it doesn't really go anywhere. Every time there's something like this, it's one of those tug of wars over the Second Amendment, over background checks as a part of the umbrella of that, and over assault rifles. And just quickly, I'll throw this in. A Pew poll in 2019 showed that 8 in 10 Republicans thought it was more important to protect the rights of Americans to own guns than to control gun ownership, up from half just more than a decade ago. So it is interesting when you look at guns and gun control, control gun ownership, protect the rights of Americans to own their guns, or, you know, protect the right of Americans to own guns on the other side, Republican, Democrat, where it all leads. There is a split with people. And again, representatives, those who form the legislation and ultimately vote on it, that's the thing. Remember, Trump, when he was president, opted for an executive order on the kind of bump stocks used in the Las Vegas tragedy. And the Senate also passed legislation adding information to the background check system, but nothing near the scale of what's being talked about now. You can throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-2283. Let's go to Grim in Mississippi. Hey, Grim.
Hey, Kate. I wanted to let you know I've made it through my cabbage patch job on my heart. I'm doing okay.
Yay! But, we were worried.
Well, it, everything else goes wrong with me while the rest of America is going through a pandemic and everything else.
Yeah.
This gun control. It ain't really. It's not a gun. It's a weapon. So anything can be used as a weapon. A pencil. But regardless of that, this ain't going nowhere. You're right. It ain't going nowhere. I mean, Biden said it in the very beginning. He wants the Senate to do it. He's too scared to do it.
Yeah, it's not happening. It's discussion, but it's not happening.
It's not happening. I mean, Schumer and Congress and the rest of them chaotic mess there, they may do something, but not Biden because, you know, he's thinking four more years. Like every president, you know, I won't personally do it. I don't think he'll do an executive order.
No.
I just don't see it happening.
No. I don't either. I don't either, Grim. We are so glad that that you got yourself together there. Stay well, my friend. Thanks for the phone call. It's what I said. Again, go by the numbers. It is numbers. And I just mentioned what happened in the previous administration, right? So there were a few things that happened. Donald Trump had sway with the NRA, and he ultimately, again, did the executive order on the bump stocks, the kind that were used in what happened at Las Vegas, and then background checks adding info to that. But anything super deep and dramatic and drastic that's been proposed in the past, it's not gonna pass muster. I don't see how, when you again just go through the roster of the representatives. But there will be lots of discussion about tighter gun rules. You can always flip me your thoughts, Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us.
That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams.
And that's for sure. Still the divided states of America. I think America is the greatest country on the face of the earth, and I've lived in some fabulous places, and I love our brothers and sisters globally and feel privileged to have been able to take this show to many wonderful, wonderful spots. But I hate seeing some of the vitriol that happens in the U.S. I think we should have differences of opinion. I think we should be able to argue them. I think we have a right to our opinions. Thank goodness we are allowed to express our opinions. It's interesting because over the weekend I saw a movie called The Courier, and it had to do with a Brit who was a salesman who was enlisted by the CIA and the intelligence people in England to help kind of be this courier and not know anything, be completely put in the dark and go back and forth to the Soviet Union. And you think of Khrushchev, who was in power then, and what a killer he was and how dangerous that spot was for him. And the story's interesting because it reminded me of, yes, in so many other countries, certainly communist countries, places where it's state-run, you don't have that freedom to really express yourself. And I think we have to guard against that. I think we have to protect our right to be able to express ourselves, and it's what the Founding Fathers certainly wanted. But at times, when it turns to pure hate, that's a whole different thing. Speaking of that, So the stage is set for this trial, and a lot of people are going to be watching absolutely what happens starting March 29th. The jury is picked for the ex-cop in Minneapolis, Derek Chauvin's case. The 15th and final member of the pool was chosen on Tuesday, so that wraps up that process that took, you know, 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks. And what you get with this kind of a trial, and most, you have 12 jurors, two alternates, the 15th person being dismissed when the trial begins if the rest of the jury remains intact. You know, they went through 100 people and dismissed most because they had strong views about what happened on video and was all over the world and certainly the United States. And Derek Chauvin is charged with murder and manslaughter, as we know, in the May 25th death of George Floyd, a black man who was declared dead after Chauvin, who's white, pressed his knee against his neck for about 9 minutes where people were in the street watching it and there were all kinds of angles of shooting it and whatnot. So this trial isn't being delayed. It's not being moved out of Minneapolis because there was a push to do that. And you got publicity, I mean, in every corner, nook and cranny of the United States, and especially in Minnesota. And especially the concern was in the middle of this jury selection that the city announces they pay $27 million settlement to Floyd's family. So that makes you think, you know, are they admitting guilt? But it doesn't matter. Too late for that. The jury is set. This rolls out on the 29th. And you can bet, like I said, lots of people will be watching to see what happens in this ex-cop's trial. There is so much video. There are so many opinions out there of what happened, and it created a firestorm and an awakening of sorts across the, not of sorts, it did, across the United States. And again, set up barriers and the push-pull that happens in the United States these days. So this is a very, very big one, needless to say. In Texas, it is one of the states, but not the only one, where anybody who wants to get a COVID vaccine can get it. It's not you're eligible anymore. Everybody is eligible at this point. A very strange thing happened. An armed man was charged with ambushing 11 National Guard troops. They were transporting COVID-19 vaccines in Texas and holding them at gunpoint after a highway chase. So this 66-year-old man, Larry Harris, happened earlier this week, followed three vans of troops transporting the vaxes, leaving a travel stop in Texas for 10 miles, then tried to run the guard members off the road, turned his car into oncoming traffic, stopped the National Guard vans, and pointed a .45-caliber pistol at the troops, identifying himself as a detective, accusing the soldiers of kidnapping a woman and a child. The troops were unharmed. That's what Homeland Security said. And they took him into custody. There was no incident or any of that kind of stuff. He had additional magazines on him in his car. And, boy, that is a dangerous situation, though. You think unarmed guardsmen, in the midst of unarmed guardsmen, with a loaded weapon. So what does he get charged with? Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, unlawful restraint of the 11 soldiers, and other charges. And so he's in Lubbock. He's in a detention center in Lubbock. People forget this, but 31,000 troops have been deployed across the country for coronavirus relief. And it includes distributing food, facilitating coronavirus testing, administering vaccines, because that was part of the problem logistically. How do you get people who want to get the vaccines, how do you get them into arms in a massive rate where you're vaccinating over 2.5 million a day across, you know, the United States? And I have to recognize this actor George Segal, 87, has died. He is that old school funny guy where he was actually in a TV sitcom, The Goldbergs. And the family said they're devastated at his passing. He died from complications from bypass surgery. He, again, gain fame now in the Goldberg sitcom that was really, really popular, but he had a lot of comedic roles over the course of his lifetime. And kind of a fun fact, he had this passion for the banjo. I mean, how many people play the banjo that I think of off the top of my head? I can't name hardly any. And he performed like at Carnegie Hall in New York, and he had a group called the Beverly Hills Unlisted Jazz Band, and he really, really was into it and played it a bunch. I guess the other banjo playing comedian would be Steve Martin, because he played the banjo too. But he goes way back. He goes back to Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which Elizabeth Taylor played her, and he got an Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor for that part in that movie that was a popular movie back in the day. But he had been in a lot of modern comedies, too. He's one of those guys that you look at his face and you say, oh, that guy. Or you know him from The Goldbergs if you watch that sitcom. I think he had great timing. That's what I'm going to say. He just is funny. If you go back and we've been doing this thing where we're looking at old movies before we would know them or appreciate them. We were too young, me and the other, the Hubs, that's what we're doing. And so he was in a bunch of those kinds of movies that were very, 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 very funny. And so rip to George Segal, a guy I think with great timing, great, great timing. I also want to say this. I've read Matthew McConaughey. People ask me, I get this in the mailbag, what are you reading? And I read all kinds of things. I like history, of course, politics, business, and then for fun, I'll read bios. And I just read Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights. And, you know, there's been this rumor about him running for governor of Texas. But what he is doing is he's hosting a Word Texas virtual concert to help Texans that were impacted by the winter storms. He and his wife raised money for lots of organizations in Austin and in other parts of Texas, too. So doing a concert, they did a concert. It was just a couple of days ago they did a concert. They're talking about doing another one to help the people that were really just crushed by the power outages and the burst water pipes and everything else that happened due to the storm that left 4 million without power, some for a week. All right, we're talking to a very funny veterinarian who's written a children's book. I like this guy. You're going to like him, too. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden is calling on Congress to take action following the mass shooting Monday at a Boulder, Colorado grocery store that killed 10 people. Speaking from the White House, the president urged the Senate to pass a pair of House-passed bills to address the nation's background check system.
The United States Senate, I hope some are listening, should immediately pass the two House-passed bills that close loopholes in the background check system. These are bills that receive votes of both Republicans and Democrats in the House.
That effort likely to find some resistance. West Virginia Democrat Senator Joe Manchin has already said he does not support either background check bill. In his remarks, the president also called for a renewal of the ban on assault rifles and a ban on high-capacity magazines. This is USA Radio News. No sooner did the coronavirus relief checks begin rolling out from Washington did cyber criminals come up with ways to steal your money. John Clemens reports.
Threat intelligence lead Christopher Dawson of Proofpoint explains what typically happens.
We would see an email that has some sort of information or link or an attached document, for example, and folks would click the document because they would think that maybe they needed some information that was in this email, perhaps information about how to get their stimulus check, for example.
Victims are told they must fill out a form over the Internet that divulges private financial information. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
And the Senate has confirmed Dr. Vivek Murthy as President Biden's Surgeon General by a 57-43 vote. Murthy previously served as Surgeon General under President Obama, beginning in 2014 through the beginning of President Trump's administration in 2017. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Author's Corner, we go to Walter Hodge, who is in our virtual green room. And I'll tell you what, he's written a book that makes me just want to hang out with him for like a week because it's, first of all, beautiful where he is. But what he's written is incredible. And it's Easter McEaster Valley is the name of the book. And Walter, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about why you wrote this book. What was it that, you know, 5 kids, beautiful area. What was it that inspired you to write the book?
Well, what inspired me to write the book is I, my wife passed away from cancer. And I had a friend of mine who had his wife also passed away. He said, Rich, he said, you know, when your wife passes, you're going to have things happen to your mind that you won't believe would happen. And I was kind of going along. You have all these thoughts, and I won't say out-of-body experiences, but they definitely were, you may almost call them spiritual, because your mind just goes through all these things in your life. And one day I kind of felt like, I think, Forrest Gump, when he had a lot of things on his mind, and one day he just started running. They asked him why. He didn't know. He started. And I just sat down and started writing this book. I had all these thoughts about things that were important to me, how wonderful of a life I'd had. I used to sit down with my kids, lay down with my kids at night trying to get them to go to sleep, and I would tell them stories about McEaster Valley. And I'd start out saying, long, long, long time ago in a far, far, far away land, and I'd hopefully they'd fall asleep, but they wouldn't. It seemed like when I was telling stories that the ones they liked the best were about McEaster Valley. And so I would make up these stories. But really, I think what I was doing was really talking about how fortunate I have been in my life, being able to sink roots in my own practice for over 40, almost 50 years now, knowing clients for years, just having a wonderful life of enjoying animals. And also I had a loving family that I enjoyed. I've just been really grateful for what has gone through in my life. And I think that I just started writing, and I put it together on 8.5 by 11 paper, and I sent it to my kids for Easter, and I don't think anybody read it. They might have read it. I don't know. But anyway, I remarried, and my wife and her mother were riding in a car with me, and we're driving actually on Memorial Day, and they read that, and her mother said, you need to write this book. And she hounded me, and so finally I got down and did write the book. And I guess I'm thankful for her that I did. It's been a great experience trying to learn how to write a book. I've written papers before of scientific area, but not this type of a book. And I just let my imagination flow, and it was, like you say, I really think I was rewriting about my life and how happy I've been.
You know, and it's interesting because when you and I talked about your childhood, I love this childhood. You grew up just understanding, appreciating animals, frogs. I mean, and it was your mother who instilled that love, I think, of the land in you and appreciating nature. Am I right about that?
Yes, my mother, she was actually raised on a ranch in a place called Pingree, Idaho, and right across the Snake River, right by the Snake River, and right across the Snake River was the Indian Reservation. And Mom used to always tell me all these stories about, you know, taking care of the cattle and all these type of things. And as I was growing up, I got to go stay at her ranch with her brother Uncle Bud was his name. And he taught me how to milk cows by hand, and we went out and went fishing. And I spent a lot of time in the Blue Hole, and I had a creek that went into the Blue Hole where I went fishing, and just had wonderful experiences. I know when I was a young child, I used to go out on the ditch bank and catch fish and frogs. I had very bad allergies at that time, and my eyes would swell up, and I would go in the house and take a washcloth with cool water and put it on my eyes until they got open again. I'd go right back out again. And one thing that really influenced me, I think, and got me really thinking about it, was one day my mom and dad, when they built their home, they actually had to dig dirt out from the side of the away from the house to for the foundation. And when we irrigated, that would always fill up with water. And one time I found these two little, they call them mud puppies, and they're little salamanders that they never mature on land, but they always live in the water. And these little mud dogs just fascinated me, that they had gills, and yet they had 4 feet, and they were like frogs, but they never developed into mature frogs. They stayed kind of like tadpoles. And I actually had a little zoo. I raised had a pig named Miss World Charm the Fourth, that she was part of my 4-H FFA project. She raised a little piglets for me. I had a cow that we took on the range with my Uncle Bud, and every summer, and she'd come back with a calf. And so I had just a lot of those experiences. I always wanted to be involved with animals. So go down the river bottoms, and we'd go down there and just enjoy it. And so fortunately, I was able to go into a career, which was just basically just who I am. I just have really enjoyed that. And so, yes, but my mother, she was the one. She had a happy, smiley face all the time, and she, I think, gave some of that to me.
Yeah, so you go into a career you really wanted. You're becoming a vet, and a vet who didn't want to take vacations. Didn't they have to force you to take vacations?
Well, yeah, I think I mentioned to you, when I first started working, it was so exciting to see things that I'd learned in school and actually in practice. I'd see something and kind of discover it and say, man, that's really cool. I just was having so much fun that I didn't really want to not be there. And finally the boss said, you know, you've got to take some vacation time. You need to get away from here some. I said, I just really, you know, this is a holiday every day. But anyway, I've always enjoyed, you know, we all have downs and ups, and we have situations that are of a concern. But it seems like every day when I leave from work, I've had a good day, and I've been able to feel like I've at least had a little bit of positive influence maybe on some of my clients I've known for years.
So it's interesting, Walter. I was thinking about this before we jumped into this interview. How many animals do you think, as a veterinarian, you treated, helped, et cetera? You know, I'm going to call them, they were your patients. How many animals do you think?
Well, I don't know. I've had all different kinds of animals. I had a wallaby once, and I guess I can tell you about that. A client of mine, she got this wallaby from Nevada, which was illegal to have in California. And she came in one day, and she had dogs I took care of. And she said, I want you to help me take care of my wallaby I got. And and she gave me a book. And I said, okay, that sounds like fun. And we took care of the wallaby. And one day she came in and she says, Dr. Hodge, she says, you've got to put Chico down. I said, why would you do that? I said, well, my he attacked my husband the other day, and he kind of went into parts of his body like he was more in love with me than maybe my husband was. And so she brought Chico in, and we neutered Chico, and he stayed at the clinic for a while. And eventually I got involved with an FFA group where he stayed there for a while, and then he was retired up in Northern California. But a few years later, the client came in, and she said, he's Dr. Hodge. She said, I think we neutered the wrong one. I just divorced my husband. So anyway, you know, I have things like that that have happened over the years. I mean, you know, I've had wild animals brought in. I had one of my technicians had a goat that was plugged up and couldn't do some things needed to. We did surgery on in the clinic and things like this. And so I've wild pigs have come in that have been injured and a few things like that. We used to be able to do that. So those are we've had a lot of that go on as well as just regular veterinary medicine.
Yeah. So when people read your book, Easter, McEaster Valley, what do you hope they take away from it?
Well, I think that I tried to show what my feelings were for the best of people and the best of life and doing things for the best of causes. And I think also doing that and respecting the environment because it provides for us. And there's so many things we can do without damaging it. I think that's really the basic theme of it. And also, you know, I put some things in there trying to influence children and maybe people that read it to look into things, you know, that, you know, things on the earth like, you know, what's like radium and, you know, and things like, you know, I have things about chickens and a few things like that. And, but there's so many different things that you can you know, that I tried to stimulate them to maybe pursue those things and kind of learn more about them.
That's so smart. And you do learn when you go through your book, you do learn. I love the illustrations. Who did the illustrations?
I don't remember who did the illustrations, but I had that done for me. I had a lot of influence in it. What they would do is they'd do drawings. I'd say, well, in my mind, I really picture this a little bit differently. Like, for example, there's a great big banana slug in the trail. And I had that in my mind, and we had to talk about that a little bit. And there's some big prints in the book that didn't look like prints I wanted them to look like of an animal and things like that. But their illustrations really, I think, brought out to me what I was trying to talk about and write about.
Yeah, and that's perfect. Did you have fun writing it?
I really did. I mean, I got onto it, and like you say, it was written really fairly fast because I had all these things flowing through my mind. And so that was a fairly fast structure. The long structure was trying to, you know, really get it published, you know, and written. That was a real learning experience for me.
Oh, yeah, that's for anybody who does a book. For all the people listening, they know. Well, congratulations on that, because we've talked about that before. Easter, McEaster Valley is fabulous. Walter, thank you so much for coming on. Walter Hodge, you can get his book right there on Amazon.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your bubbliness and ease of being able to visit with. Thank you. You have a great day in your neighborhood. I'm going to have in mine.
Thank you.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Well, we go from talking to a wonderful veterinarian who came up with an amazing children's book and is so inspiring, knew as soon as he saw that as a kid he was involved with animals, boom, he ends up doing that as a career path to, sadly, the path to too many people losing their life. A Syrian-born gunman, Ahmad Alissa, just 21, was known apparently to the FBI and ranted about Islamophobes hacking his phone before killing 10 people at a Boulder grocery store. There are more details that we're starting to find out with the assault rifle that he bought a week ago. Now there's going to be an assault on assault rifles, and there's a call for a ban on it. We'll talk about that in a second. But the 21-year-old, we know this from the other day. We were talking about opening fire right before 3 o'clock. He killed 2 people even in the parking lot before he went into the store. He killed another 8 people there. Motive, not known. Complaining he didn't have a girlfriend. Complaining he hated Trump. He was a rancher. He was antisocial, according to his brother. He was paranoid since high school, and he described himself as mentally ill, said he'd been bullied in school, and it wasn't politically motivated. Sadly, I think it's not about the creep that did that. I think it's about the, which is mild, by the way, I think it's about the victims, 20 to 65 years old. Cop was killed. People who were shopping. I mean, again, picture in your mind, you're going to the grocery store. You're running in to get dog food, coffee, to shop, and that happens. And so President Biden now called for a nationwide ban on assault rifles and tighter laws on background checks. Where do you fall on that? We've had these discussions before on the show. You can weigh in at Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. I really want to take the temperature of this audience. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. We've looked at all angles of this in the sense of guns with background checks and what happens there. We've looked at, you know, if you look at Boulder, they had actually pretty strict gun laws, and look what happened there. Just again, a horrible, horrible thing for all of those poor people and their families to have to contend with this. So we'll see what happens on the Hill if this really advances. It has not in a very long time. There was a ban on assault rifles that expired, I want to say, during the Clinton era, right at the end of that. So there hasn't been any kind of, there's been conversation about it, but there hasn't been any legislation that's gotten close to going through. Will this time be different? Or is it, no matter what the gun is, you look at the other side of, what about somebody who just wants to do somebody harm, wielding a knife or a bomb or any other kind of device? And in this country, and I know people are listening in other countries where it's very different than the UK, it's always about measurements and statistics and looking at things that have happened in the past and measuring who are the people that are doing this. And it's sad. It's sad to see what's happened in the last decade, but is that the answer? Is that going to completely wave the magic wand and change some of these horrific things that have happened? Or if somebody wants to go after people, or they're raging, use their car, plow into people with their cars. We've seen happen before again, knives, bombs. So I think the debate is going to get kicked open. Where it heads, we'll see. There's actually 9 bills. I checked on this today, from guns to George Floyd to a couple of other things that are out there being kicked around. But are the Republicans going to support? Are they going to support any of that? We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of serious things that are happening. We're seeing what's going on at the border. The challenge of that, the global pandemic, and how that's affecting us, and what's happening there, and the variants, and are we going to be able to say we're getting on the other side of this by the summertime and forget the idea that, you know, danger Will Robinson, we can't go out and live our lives like we used to. I think things will be altered forever, but in some form of what it, I'll put it that way, in some form of what it used to be. So we talked about it at the top of the hour. I won't go deeper into that. You know how I feel, but look, you got strict local gun laws, and it was in place in Boulder, but it got overturned. Would that have made a difference or not? He bought the gun 6 days before the attack. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Weigh in. I want to, again, take the temperature of this audience and see where you stand on all of that. And I don't think there'll be enough support for a ban on assault weapons. Will there be support for some kind of background checks that differ from what there are now? ? In the meantime, there's something else that I want to talk about, because I want to reach out to our Australian friends and say that, boy, I feel for you. I mean, this is some of the worst flooding they've seen in decades. And we know what happens when you get floods. Talk to the people in Louisiana about gators and what can happen there. Spiders and snakes in Australia, they are everywhere. In New South Wales, we had 18,000 people that had to be evacuated. 54,000 people, maybe more, displaced because of the rain forecast. It's still raining. It's raining as this leaves my lips. So when you think of Australia and you think of those floodwaters, that's not a place that somebody wants to be, certainly because of how dangerous it is. And then for the other things that are happening, the snakes and the spiders have been trying to get to high ground. So you're seeing that the trees are full of snakes. If you take a boat out, they say, over a paddock area, they swim toward it to try to get on something dry. The same thing with spiders. Oh, that just adds insult to injury. Just thinking in my head of what that would be like is absolutely horrific. And I mean, you know, these people, they're going through a horrible time. So it was probably the last thing on their mind. But guess what? When they're all coming towards your boat, yeah, you're going to be thinking about it a little bit. I think so. So, you know, an interesting thing to come back to, 540,000
thousand plus deaths in the U.S. with COVID-19, more people being vaccinated in this country, more people talking about who aren't comfortable with the vaccine protocol, now thinking, yeah, maybe they will get vaccinated. I think there's some people that are starting to pivot on that, and some that are like, hell no, we won't go. So 83.9 million have been vaccinated. 31.4% of the eligible population, 16 and older. These are just statistics to chew on. 25.3% of the total population is what we're talking about. That's a pretty big number. And, you know, despite this pandemic, I have to end on a happy note. There's this 2021 World Happiness Report, and you know what it found? That despite the global hardship problems, self-reported life satisfaction across 95 countries on average, pretty steady in 2020 from the previous year. The United States saw the same kind of trend. Despite everything being turned upside down, this national thing shows that there was a little bit of a drop in positive emotions and a rise in negative ones. In fact, we fell, the U.S. fell from the 18th spot to the 19th spot in the annual rankings that were put out on Saturday. But the report shows the good news is globally there is resilience. I mean, that's the word. That, yeah, people aren't kicking up their heels, but they're showing that they're not throwing up their hands and giving up, that there is real resilience there. And this is, by the way, I got to pin it on something, right? I'm not just making up fake statistics. So this is a lot of the statistics for the happiness report comes from the Gallup World Poll, where they ask people to rate their current life satisfaction on a 0 to 10 ladder, like that kind of a scale, with 10 representing the best possible life for you. It's kind of a longer view, I guess, of happiness, and it's interesting to see where it all falls. So where Americans expected future happiness to remain high in 5 surveys since the pandemic, between 65.8 and 69.2% of respondents said they expect their life satisfaction to be an 8 or above a 5 into the future. So that's good. That does suggest optimism for the future, and that people are really adaptable. I think Americans are adaptive. I think a lot of people listening to me in other countries, you know who you are in Australia, what I just talked about, what you're going through, the UK, I think you're resilient as well. On that note, that's where we leave it. Remember, make it count, everybody. See you next time. Delaney here. Facebook has already connected over 2 billion people to authoritative COVID-19 information. As access to COVID-19 vaccines expands, Facebook aims to help bring 50 million more people one step closer to getting vaccinated. KX Jin, head of health at Facebook, is here to tell us some helpful hints. What tips do you have for us today?
Not only are we working to inform people who want to get the vaccine, we're also working to share real-time trends in COVID-19 vaccinations, intent to get vaccinated, and reasons why people might not. Knowing this information means health departments and agencies can speak to the real issues and concerns that people have, and hopefully lead to more people confidently choosing to get vaccinated.
Where can our listeners go for more information?
If you want to learn more about all the ways Facebook is supporting the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, just search for COVID-19 in your Facebook app to explore.
Thanks, KX. So again, search for COVID-19 in your Facebook app for more information.